Hey everyone, and welcome. Get ready to dive into the unexpected world of typography.
Typography. Unexpected.
You'd be surprised. We're going to uncover the psychology behind something we see every day. Letters. All thanks to this document, typography, the art, science, and psychological impact.
Oh, interesting. Most people don't realize how much goes into something as simple as font choice.
Right. It seems so basic.
But it's a fascinating blend of art, history, neuroscience even.
Neuroscience. Okay, now you've got me hooked.
Oh, yeah.
But let's start at the beginning.
Sure.
Your document takes us way back to ancient scripts.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long way from those early forms of writing to, say, the printing press.
It is, and the printing press was a game changer. The 15th century, Gutenberg's Bible, using black letter. Huge.
Why black letter, though? Was that just the go-to font back then?
Well, it was a deliberate choice.
Yeah.
Gutenberg wanted to mimic the look of handwritten manuscripts. Imagine if he'd used something like, I don't know, Arial.
Yeah, that's a totally different vibe.
Right. Huge impact on how people experience the text.
Speaking of different vibes, can we talk about serif and sans serif fonts? I feel like I need a little refresher on those terms.
Absolutely. Okay, so picture Times New Roman.
Okay, got it. Classic.
See those little feet at the end of the letters?
Oh, yeah.
Those are serifs.
Right.
And they actually guide your eye, make it easier to read, well, big chunks of text, especially print.
So it's like they're pulling your eye along the line.
Exactly. Now, sans serif fonts, those are like Arial. They're all about clean lines.
Yeah.
No feet.
Much more modern looking.
Exactly. And they excel in digital readability. Think websites, apps, anything on a screen.
Which makes sense. It's so much easier to read on my phone in a clean sans serif font, reading a whole ebook in Times New Roman.
Ouch, yeah.
That sounds exhausting. So it's about optimizing for the medium then.
You got it. Serifs for print, guiding the eye along those long lines, and sans serif for digital, keeping it crisp and clear on all those different screen sizes.
Makes sense. But it's not just about aesthetics and readability, is it?
You're right.
There's a whole accessibility side to typography.
You hit the nail on the head. It's about making information accessible for everyone. And that's where things get really interesting.
So when we talk about accessibility and fonts, what should we be looking for?
Well, font size is huge, right?
Makes sense. Bigger is usually better.
Exactly. Larger font sizes, clear spacing between the lines. Think about those pages of tiny jumbled text.
Oh, yeah. Nightmare.
Especially for someone with a visual impairment. That could be impossible to read. But it's not just about vision.
Right. You mentioned cognitive abilities, too.
And this is where those serifs come back into play.
Oh, really?
They're not just decorative. They help with what's called visual word recognition.
Interesting.
For a lot of people, and particularly those with dyslexia, those serifs make a big difference. They help the brain decode letters, words, everything.
Huh. So they're like anchors for your eyes.
Exactly. They keep your eyes from jumping around on the page.
Wow, the power of a serif. I had no idea. Are there specific fonts that are designed to be dyslexia friendly?
Oh, absolutely. They might have heavier weighted bottoms, wider spacing between letters, even distinct letter shapes to avoid confusion.
So someone's really thinking about all this when they design a font.
Oh, yeah. A lot of thought goes into it, especially when it comes to accessibility.
That's amazing. It makes you realize there's so much more to font choice than just picking something that looks nice.
100%.
Speaking of which, your document had this whole section on typography mishaps. You know, when font choices go wrong.
Right.
And I gotta say, some of those were disastrous.
It's true. It could backfire in a big way.
Like that company that used a script font for its logo, but it was so fancy no one could read it.
Oh, yeah. Classic example.
Talk about a branding fail.
Take time.
It's like when you get those handwritten invitations and you can't tell if it's a wedding or a baby shower.
Right. Legibility matters.
It really does. Or what about that financial firm? The one that used that playful, almost comic book font in its advertising.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one. Not exactly the message of financial stability, right? Yeah.
Right. Not who I want managing my money.
It all comes back to those subconscious associations we make. We may not even realize it, but those font choices, they're influencing how we perceive everything. Brands, messages, companies.
So it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. Or rather, what font you use to say it.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about readability, accessibility, even typography disasters. But your document also goes into this whole thing about the psychology of typefaces. Mm-hmm. Like, what feelings can a font even evoke? I'm very curious about this. It's like fonts have these secret meanings.
Kind of. You know how our brains love making connections?
Oh, yeah.
Fonts are no different. So serif fonts with that classic look, they often make people think of trust, tradition.
Makes sense. Like a newspaper or a university.
Exactly. They want to project authority, timelessness. You wouldn't believe a news article in Comma Sans, right?
Definitely not. But a news article in Times New Roman, I'd probably believe that.
Exactly. Now, sans serif, they're all about modernity, being clean, innovative.
So that's why every tech company uses them.
Right. Think startups, anything that wants to seem cutting edge. Mm-hmm. And then there are script fonts, the ones with those elegant flowing lines.
Fancy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They make people think of luxury, romance even.
Wedding invitations. I knew it.
There you go. High-end brands love them. But is there any science behind this? You know, how we feel about fonts.
That's what I was wondering. Is it all just in our heads?
Yeah, actually, your document talks about some really cool research on this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's this font company, Monotype, and they teamed up with a neuroscience company to study how our brains react to different fonts.
No way. What'd they find?
So get this. Just seeing certain fonts could boost positive emotions.
Seriously?
Yeah, by over 10%. And that's without even reading anything, just looking at the font.
Wow, that's wild. So the right font can actually make you feel happier.
It seems that way. But it gets even weirder. You know, your document also talks about this thing called disfluent typography.
Disfluent? That sounds like a bad thing.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But it's actually about making text a little harder to read.
Wait, what? Why would you want to do that?
Well, there's this idea called desirable difficulty. Basically, when our brains have to work a bit harder to understand something, we actually remember it better.
Oh, interesting. So it's like a brain workout.
Exactly. Think about it. When you really have to concentrate on something, you're more likely to remember it later.
That's true, actually. Wow. I've learned so much about typography today. It's way more than just making things look pretty.
Right. It's about communication, emotion, even memory. It really makes you see the world in a whole new light.
It does. So what's the one thing you really want our listeners to take away from all of this?
Pay attention to fonts.
Yeah.
Think about those messages they're sending, even the ones we don't realize. And don't be afraid to experiment. You know, find what works for you, whether it's for a website, an email, even just your own notes.
It all makes a difference. And on that note, we'll leave you with this. Think about your favorite website, product, brand, whatever. What does their font choice tell you about them?
Keep your eyes peeled. It's a whole world of typography out there just waiting to be discovered.